Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we explore the Old Testament book of Malachi and learn about the dangers of questioning God. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the book of Malachi. We've entitled this series of podcasts, Questioning God. And these were people, John, that were questioning the very character of God. And God is lovingly, firmly dealing with them through his messenger, Malachi. And Malachi, as he characterizes this series of messages, he said, it's a burden. This is a heavy conversation, and these are heavy rebukes that God's giving his people.
You know, Malachi he knew these people, he lived with these people, and Malachi could see areas in their life where they were not right, but these people thought they were fine. They thought they were fine with God, doing God's bidding, doing God's will. When God is going to expose that and show them nothing can be further from the truth, they were far from God.
Have you ever had to show somebody whom you love something about them that they couldn't see? That's a tough thing. That's a tough thing, especially when what you're showing somebody is something that is not complementary in their life.
You're right. Most people don't like hearing rebuke. And so when trying to rebuke somebody and show them even from a heart of love, people often will shoot the messenger, even though the messenger's not the problem, it's the message they have a problem with.
Have you ever been out to eat and you had a long conversation with somebody and then you went to excuse yourself to use the bathroom and you looked in the mirror and you had a big old piece of salad in your teeth? And you're like, why didn't they tell me? I've been having this whole conversation. I had this big piece of lettuce in my teeth. Hey, a true friend is going to tell you when you have lettuce in your tooth.
That right? is for sure.
And a true friend is going to confront a friend and say, listen, here's an area in your life that's blemished. And I think that's a responsibility of a friend. It's a responsibility of a fellow servant of God. I like how Paul said it to the Corinthians. He said, oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you. Our heart is enlarged. In other words, we can open our mouth and say the hard thing to somebody while we have a big heart for them.
And we sure can. I think how Solomon says in Proverbs, you know, that iron sharpeneth iron. How that a friend will have a heart to help other people out. You know, Proverbs also tells us, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
Open rebuke is better than secret love. And again, the Bible's full of that. Those admonitions. Verse 10 of our text is a question. Who is there even among you? This is a question that the Lord has for the people. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught, for nothing? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. So a couple questions there. Who's going to shut the doors for nothing? Who's going to light the fire for nothing? What does that mean?
You know, I see here their heart was not bent on serving God just because God was the sovereign of all creation who loved them and who formed a covenant with them. And they were not just content to just serve him out of a glad heart, but what's in it for me?
Right. So serving God should be its own reward. Well, I get to serve God. God has included me in his plan. I can't believe I get to do this. And yet if we're not careful, we'll get to the place in ministry where every little thing we do, we want to receive some kind of remuneration for it, whether it be the praise of men, whether it be I want to get paid for this, whether it be I need some kind of recognition. And God says, is there anybody? Is there anybody that will do even these insignificant small jobs, like keeping the door?
Yeah, that's such a job that anybody should be willing to do it just gladly.
And what did David say? I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. There's the attitude we ought to have. Here's a man that was a king saying, I'd love to do the smallest job. Okay. Or think about John the Baptist, who said, Man, I'm not even worthy to wash the feet of Jesus, to unlatch his shoe latchet. That's the attitude we ought to have, is that everything that we do for the Lord. And so even if it's the smallest task, if I'm doing it for him, what a privilege.
It is a great privilege. You know, and God does have people in the church today that have all kinds of responsibilities. Some people are out in front. Some people are behind the scenes. But every job is extremely important, that that body of Christ might grow and might reach out to other people. Everybody is important in the body of Christ. Everybody has been gifted who is a child of God in some way to serve God. And we have to use the gifts God's given to us freely and willingly to let our light shine so that we can touch those that are around us and let them see our great God through our lives.
And I love the fact that God is asking the questions here, because a question really makes me stop and look inward. Questions stir the conscience, somebody once wisely said. So who is there among you? So now he's speaking to a larger class of people. Now, I think maybe still to the Levites, but to the servant class, and saying, is there anybody that would do what he's doing just for me? Or does everybody need to be compensated?
You know, what a rebuke this is to have God ask people that should be known as the people of God, to have God ask them a heart about their motivation. And obviously that's what God's getting at, is their motivation has gone completely awry here.
We do this in our human relationships. Sometimes a teenager will get to the place where he's like, well, that's not my job, or I need to get an allowance, you know, for living in this house. And we escape, we depart from that love motivation to, wow, my mom and dad love me, they sacrificed for me. But it's a privilege for me to be a part of the work of this home.
Yeah, it should be in our families. You're right. Everybody in the family should be glad to realize, hey, this is a family of love. And even on a much greater scale, the fact that God loves us unconditionally and all that God's done for us should compel us to reciprocate his love and serve him just because we love him.
So the question itself is convicting. Is there anybody that will just do this for me? Anybody? In these small tasks like shutting the door or lighting the fire. And let me just say this, there are no small tasks when it comes to who we do the task for. So not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, you do serve the Lord Christ. Paul taught those servants in Ephesians chapter 6, and then again in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and then again in Colossians chapter 4. The point is that when we do it for the Lord, it makes the task a big thing, whether it's two mites that we throw into the treasury or whatever it is, whether it's washing feet. When we do it for him, it makes the task an ennobled thing. So the question is convicting, but John, the assessment is even more convicting, because look at what he says in verse 10. He said, is there anybody that'll shut the door, that'll light the fire for nothing? Then he says this, I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. So that to me is, wow, you talk about a burden, you talk about a rebuke.
Yeah, that is a strong rebuke from God. And God, I mean, to think that God calls you on the carpet, so to speak, and says, I have no pleasure in you. I mean, what a thought that is. And it gets back to, because their heart wasn't right with God. You know, God didn't just want some ritualism. God wanted a relationship. He's the almighty God who condescended. The Bible tells us he humbles himself to even look at the heavens. If that be so, how much even more so it is true that God condescended to have a relationship with mankind. And sometimes we allow the small things in the service of God to just become mundane, just become ritualistic, and we forget who we're serving, and we don't have a heart for God, and God says, I'm sick of this.
God describes the purpose of Christian living as being to please him. So whether that be 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 or those great passages in Revelation, our job is to please the Lord. But what he's saying here is your performance is not pleasing me. I take no pleasure in this. You're not pleasing me. So when we do the things we do in ministry for alternate reasons, Like, I'm just doing this for what I can get out of it. I'm doing this for the recognition. I'm doing this for the compensation. I'm doing this for when those become the motivations by which we do the things we do for God. God says, I'm not pleased by that. I have no pleasure and I don't accept that. So you can work as hard as you want to work. You can do as many tasks as you want to do, but I don't accept that.
You know, it is interesting. Satan tries to destroy churches often from the inside, and he'll try to get some of his people who are serving God to get disgruntled because nobody ever thanks them for what they're doing. And, you know, it's a tragedy because the person who gets upset because they weren't thanked are actually evidencing their heart issue in that they weren't serving for the right reason. Because when you serve God for the right motives, it doesn't matter what people say to you about it.
And that's why being a living sacrifice is every bit as much about motives. Because the Bible says it's that acceptable sacrifice. That's what I accept. So why we do what we do is huge.
It is very huge. You're right.
Verse 11, for from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for in my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. What a rebuke. You, my called ones, you, those whom I love and I've set my love upon, those to whom I've been faithful, you won't do anything without compensation. I don't take pleasure in it. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get glory. And there's coming a day when the people that you look down on religiously, the people that you despise, they're going to praise my name.
Yeah, what a thought that is. And what a rebuke, an indictment upon the people of God here, how that they knew the true living God and God had put them into a privileged position. He had chose Jacob. He loved the people. He loved his covenant people. And yet they had become so accustomed to knowing the things of God, knowing about God. Everything had just become ritualistic, mundane, not that important. And God says, do you not realize the sad state you're in? Here you as my people, this is how you treat me. But don't you remember who I truly am? And someday I am going to be, you know, magnified greatly by the people that you despise because I am the true God and I am going to be magnified.
A great example of this in my mind is the Pharisee and the publican. Here's this Pharisee just so proud of his Judaism, so proud of his status, so proud of his performance, and God wasn't impressed at all. And here was this publican that had lived a life of debauchery and couldn't even look at God. It just pounded his chest in conviction. God, be merciful to me. And yet his heart was pure and right and open, and God honored that. So, again, I think the teaching here is the Lord's looking for these motivating factors in our life: love, honor, respect. And yet too often we make our Christian service all about performance, what I do. But to your point, John, why do I do what I do? Is there anybody out there, Paul, God is saying, is there anybody out there that will just do your service for God, regardless of how big or small it appears to be, for me?
You know, I think back to our title for this whole series about questioning God. And when we think through that, how foolish that truly is, that we would come to God and we would dispute what God says. I mean, he's God. Okay, if we think he really is God, if that is how we view him, the one who's high, exalted, supreme, lifted up, the one who is transcendent, and yet he has made it possible that man might know him, and he has a relationship with man as we yield to him. I think when we really realize who God is, that is why he would be exalted among the Gentiles, because he is God. And yet the people had become where they just had, the people of Israel just had a small view of God. I read a book years ago. It was called The Illusion of a Manageable Deity, where God is just a God after our mindset, and we don't view him as the true God of all. And that's what God wants them to realize. Do you not realize who I am? And who I am ought indicate and ought have some motivation of how you treat me.
No, that's a great thought. And we view making God into an image as a matter of idolatry, or that's what Buddhists do, or that's what the Hindus do. But it's, no, it's what we do. When we make God after our own image and bring him down to our human level, we have a holy, wonderful, transcendent God who has chosen to love us and to use our lives. Why would we not do everything we do realizing that and for him? And that's the question God asks. He asked it of them 2,400 years ago, and he asks it of you and me today. Are we serving God with the right heart motive? God bless you, my friends. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.